So as she said, my name is Julia Harshman. I'm wrapping up my PhD as we speak at Washington State University. I'm going to talk about trial design efficiency today, so kind of switching gears. I'd like to start off by recognizing Kate Evans as my advisor and Dr. Craig Hardner from the University of Queensland, who's been an integral part of getting this work done. So apples are the second most popular fruit in the U.S., and Washington is the largest producer of them, with it being a $2.7 billion a year industry. In 1994, a breeding program was launched to serve this industry, and thus far has had three releases, with 38/Cosmic Crisp being our most recent. We enjoy relatively low humidity and low disease pressure in Washington, which means the main focus of our breeding program is excellent eating quality and appearance. Has to be suited to production in Washington, and also have excellent storability as relates to fruit quality and texture, post-harvest decay, and storage diseases. So apple breeding is a long-term process, with going from making crosses to releasing a variety taking close to 20 years. Going through this pretty quickly, we make crosses. Once we get seedlings, those are budded onto dwarfing rootstocks. They're planted as unreplicated individuals in our seedling orchards, where they're evaluated for 4 years. Anything that looks really promising is then advanced to phase two, which is our replicated data collection phase. From there, anything that looks truly inspiring is moved on to phase three, which is our large volume fruit production phase. And here we're really looking for commercial viability, so packing line tests, commercial storage, and consumer acceptance. And hopefully after that, we have something to release. The focus of this talk is going to be on our phase two data collection phase. So trial design efficiency is a balance between time, cost, and accuracy, so that you select the best candidates with a minimum of waste. There have been quite a lot of these analyses in agronomic crops focusing on yield, as well as in forestry species. The WSU apple breeding program wanted to move these methods into horticultural crops and ask a pretty specific question. Could we alter our designs to evaluate more selections in phase two for the same total program cost? So to go over our current design, so we evaluated three sites throughout the growing region, as can be seen on the map with the stars. We evaluate them for 3 years, and in each year we will harvest each selection three times per year over consecutive weeks, and that's because maturity can be hard to estimate on these unknown genotypes. So the first thing is cost. Cost is always important. Breeding programs are quite expensive. So how much does our current phase two program cost? We had two assumptions here, and that was that our sites were equidistant apart and that site maintenance was equal. And that's actually not a far departure from how the program actually works. Just made the calculations a little easier. So this is a pie chart of our current phase two costs, and as you can see, the lion's share of the costs are in harvesting. Within harvesting, it's mostly labor, so time spent driving to the plots and time spent in the field harvesting apples, labeling bags, reloading the truck, and then driving back to the station. The second most cost-intensive part was data collection. And so that, again, is mostly labor. Time spent tasting apples, doing instrumental analyses, crawling on the ground, measuring trunk diameter, and then doing the data entry. So if we want to evaluate more selections for the same total program cost, we need to look at reduced designs. So the first set of designs we looked at were reducing one component at a time. So reducing just the number of sites, just the number of years, and just the number of harvests. And then we looked at reducing two components simultaneously. So let me walk you through this table just briefly. Across the top, those are the alternative, the current and the alternative designs as we just went through them in the same order. And then in the columns, the travel time and harvest labor are the two most single expensive costs in the program, but that's just in harvesting. And then I also have the total per entry cost, all standardized to the current design so that the current design is 100% of the cost. So as you can see, and as I said before, travel, labor spent harvesting, and mostly drive time, as is the case for us. That's where the bulk of our costs are. It's half of the total program cost. If we reduce the design to 2 sites and 2 years, we can reduce travel time by more than half, and the total per entry cost is also reduced by half. So we know if you reduce the designs, you can reduce cost, but at what cost to accuracy? So this comes to our next two questions. How much does the reduced number of total fruit samples impact the accuracy of trait evaluations under these alternative designs? Or said another way, how do these reduced designs affect our ability to differentiate between selections? So the first thing was looking at our variance estimates. S is sites, Y is years, H is harvest, G is candidates. We've all seen equations like this. Again, here we had two assumptions. Plot variance is confounded with site variance, so we assume that candidate by plot variance is zero. And we also assume candidate age variance is zero because it's confounded with the year variance. We use two different metrics for looking at changes in accuracy, the first being critical percentage difference. So this is similar to your least significant difference statistic, and it calculates the difference between two selections needed to say that they are different with 95% confidence. And this is adapted from a 1977 paper on wheat. Second one is response to selection, which is the directional progress that can be made on the trial average when advancing phase two selections to phase three for an attribute. Excuse me. And this is adapted from Falconer and McKay. Hopefully it makes a little more sense when I go through the example. So looking at sensory crispness, in our program we evaluate that on a 1 to 5 ordinal scale, with 1 being chewy and 5 being crisp. Under our current design, we need to see a 10.5% difference between two selections to say that they have different levels of crispness. On the ordinal scale, that's 0.4. If we reduce the design to 2 sites, 3 years, and 2 harvests, we need to see a 13.5% difference, which is 0.52 on that ordinal scale. This design is 3.5% less accurate for sensory crispness, but we save 38% of the per candidate cost. Sticking with sensory crispness, but now looking at response to selection, our current phase two trial average for crispness is 3.2 on that ordinal scale. When we advance things to phase three, our phase three trial average increases to 3.7. If we reduce the number of harvests to 2, we don't lose any accuracy. The phase three trial average remains 3.7. If we reduce the number of sites and the number of years, our phase three trial average isn't quite as high. It's only 3.5, but that's a relatively small loss in accuracy. We did this for all 20 traits, but I don't have time to go through those, so I'll just give you the Reader's Digest version. So if we just reduce the number of sites, we had the largest reduction in cost. When we reduced the number of years, we had the largest reduction in accuracy. And if we reduce the number of harvests, we have almost no loss in accuracy, but there's also no cost savings, or very little cost savings. So what about with the double factored reduced designs? So if we the 2 sites, 2 years, and 2 years, 2 harvest designs had larger accuracy losses. And that's because in our program, for most traits, the candidate by year interactions are large. So reducing the number of years sacrifices quite a bit of accuracy. The winner here for us, it was a design of 2 sites, 3 years, and 2 harvests. That had relatively small losses in accuracy and an appreciable decrease in cost, which will allow us to evaluate 12 additional candidates for a total of 32 in our phase two for the same total program cost. So all of these types of analysis have underlying assumptions, and for this one, it's that all trials are successful. Those of us that do research outside know that that's not true. For apple, some of our risks include freezing, hail damage, deer, and then in Washington, we've had a dam break, or there's a crack in the dam, and our irrigation's been inconsistent. So water stress and fires, for those of you that have been following the news. We want to have confidence in what we advance because phase three is our most expensive phase. It's a huge monetary investment when we decide to advance something. And furthermore, for the grower, if they decide to invest in one of our varieties, that's a huge investment and risk for them. And things that we release are dependent on what we advance from phase two. So we came up with a compromised design. 3 sites, 3 years, and 2 harvests. So we will plant all 3 sites, but only evaluate 2 each year, leaving the 3rd site as insurance should something happen. This saves on assessment costs, which as I mentioned was one of the most expensive components, and it allows us to evaluate 8 additional candidates. Now we could do that by randomly selecting 2 of our 3 sites each year, or we could evaluate our 2 favorite sites and just the 3rd one when we have an issue, such as hail. So for WSU, can our trial design be altered to evaluate more selections? Yes, it can. We can evaluate 8 additional for the same total program cost. Does it affect our ability to differentiate selections? Not really. There's less than 5% loss in accuracy for all of the traits that we evaluate under both metrics. And if the same number is advanced to phase 3, it increases selection intensity, which will help us improve discovery of excellent new varieties. So that was really WSU-centric, but this has some potential for other breeding programs. So agronomic analysis, as I said, that's been the focus of these trial design efficiency papers, and they focused on yield. Selection for yield is directional, increasing. We want more yield in everything, basically. Apple's a little bit more tricky because we employ sort of multi-target selection because we're breeding for simultaneously for multiple flavor, texture, and appearance types. That's what the consumers expect and want. That could have had the effect of inflating our variance estimates so much that we wouldn't have found any differences in the equations. So these methods, which were adapted from agronomic crops, yielded very valuable results in what's arguably a difficult horticultural crop. With that, we think that it has wider application to other horticultural breeding programs that want to ask their own trial design efficiency and accuracy questions. With that, I'd like to thank our lab group, my funding sources from the True Fruit Research Commission, as well as USDA and NUFA, and I will take any questions.
Assume when you have that 3rd site in back and stuff with all the basic maintenance and harvest, just data collection and this detailed way, right?
Correct. Oh, I'm sorry, that's right. Repeat the question. So if we still plant that 3rd site, we still have to go through all the basic maintenance and even probably harvesting. It has there are other benefits to leaving a 3rd site as well, such as leaving parents for pollination and things. So the question was, how many replicates do we have per candidate at each site? And the answer is 5. So we have 5 trees of each candidate planted in a randomized design. We weren't comfortable reducing that any, so that's, we sort of just stuck with, we're going to keep 5. So the question was, have we ever considered using a drone to capture images and using those images to take some of the phenotypic data? In Apple, we take very little actual information in the field other than harvest date. And then once the season's over, some yield metrics. Almost all of our phenotypic data has to be done in the lab because there's a large sensory component. So you know someone has to eat through all those apples. And then we try to match those with our instrumental. So the drone technology is really interesting. It's just not really applicable to Apple Scion breeding at the moment.
More questions?
Was yield per acre one of the things that we're measuring here? Because it would seem to be requiring the most replications of sites and years.
So the question is, do we collect yield data, or was that one of the variables that we use? In our phase two, yield is really not a consideration. In Apple, we're lucky that we can sort of manipulate yield with horticultural practices. We do take more yield data in our phase three when we have more replicates per candidate. So, a yield estimate based on 5 trees would be a guesstimate at best, kind of. In our phase three, we have 100 trees per replicate, and that's where we start looking at yield.
All right, thank you. Thank you to all the speakers.